Welcome and thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information about our church, visit christislove.org.
Good morning, Christ United. All right. You know the drill. If God has been good to you, will you give him what he deserves right now? That's awesome. I want to ask you why you are the way you are, why you think the way you think, why your life's turning out the way it's turning out, why every day is like it is. So do you ever feel that, you know, because of you, I wake up discouraged every day. Because of you, no matter how hard I try, it isn't good enough. Because of you, I feel all this anxiety. Because of you, I feel all of this anger. Because of you, I find it hard to trust myself or everyone else around me. Because of you, I'm afraid because of you. And whether whatever you is, whoever or whatever you is in your life, Many people here know that my thoughts seem to be the results of things that are beyond my control. Things like even spiritual forces, like I feel like there's something going on that's kind of like trying to get me to do the wrong thing. You ever felt that way? Kind of like Krunk in the Emperor's New Groove?
Mission accomplished. My shoulder, Angel.
Don't listen to that guy. He's trying to lead you down the path of righteousness. I'm going to lead you down the path that rocks.
I'll come off it.
You come off it.
You.
Infinity. Listen up, big guy. I got three good reasons why you should just walk away. Number one, look at that guy. He's got that sissy stringy music thing.
We've been through this. It's a harp, and you know it.
All right. That's a harp, and that's a dress.
Robe.
Reason number two, look what I can do.
What? What does that have to do with me?
No, no. He's got a point.
Listen, you guys, you're sort of confusing me, so, be gone. However I get rid of you guys.
Don't you wish it was that easy to get those thoughts to stop? But we have that tendency to be like, you know, the devil made me do it. That was Eve whenever she was asked why she ate the from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Her response was to say that, look, the serpent deceived me and I ate. He's the one that made me do it. In reality, there are spiritual forces at work. In fact, we're told in Ephesians that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so, yeah, there's really stuff there. That's influencing my thinking and the way that I think. And also, they're my experiences. And when you think about your experiences, they seem to come together. And who I am and the way I think is because the things that were beyond my control, like what happened as I was growing up.
Anyway, these are Riley's memories. And they're mostly happy, you'll notice, not to brag. But the really important ones are over here. I don't want to get too technical, but these are called core memories. Each one came from a super important time in Riley's life. Like when she first scored a goal. Oh, that was so amazing. Memory powers a different aspect of Riley's personality. Like Hockey Island. Goofball Island is my personal favorite.
Come back here, you little monkey!
Yep, Goofball is the best.
And then there's Family Island and Friendship Island. There's all these things out of our experiences. I think it's cool that Riley was baptized today and we had Riley in the film. But anyway, here's the thing is that you may think, well, good for Riley, you know, because she had all these good experiences. But what if the things that form my core memories and the things that form who I am were bad experiences? Like Tamar, whose brother Amnon, it says that, you know, he raped her. And then it says that she lived destitute her whole life as a result of her experience. And so what happens if your experiences are bad? And so that leads to the next thing, which is the choices of others that are beyond my control. The people of Israel would quote this proverb that the parents have eaten sour grapes and their children's teeth are set on edge. If everybody felt like that, it's like, man, my teeth are set on edge because my parents' choices and what they did or somebody else's choices and what they did. I want to let you know some powerful and beautiful and wonderful news. If you feel like that your thoughts are the result of things that are beyond your control, that God's given you something, a gift that changes everything. Now listen, apart from the gift of His Son and the gift of His Holy Spirit, the most powerful gift that God has given to me and to you is the power to choose. That is enormously powerful, and a sovereign God who could have chosen to take choice completely out of our picture has chosen to give each one of us choice. And so we're told in the book of Deuteronomy, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. So he's saying, I'm giving you the opportunity to choose life or death, blessing or curses. It's your choice. Now choose life. You see, there's that much power in your choices. The power of life and death is truly In those choices. Now, here's the good news about that. It's phenomenal news. It should light up your world if you think that your thoughts are the result of things beyond your control. And that is this: I am not a victim of the choices of others or what happened to me. I'm not a victim of those things. The reality is that Jeremiah, who quoted that proverb that the people used to quote about the fathers eating sour grapes, he said, in those days, people will no longer say, the parents have eaten our sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. He's saying, look, you're going to realize that it's going to come back to you. And that is a beautiful gift that God has given to you, to recognize that regardless of your experiences, regardless of other people's choices, that His will for you is still absolutely beautiful. In fact, the person who says the most about this, I think, in the most positive and powerful way is Paul. And Paul was actually writing from a place where his experience was not a positive experience. He had been put in jail in Rome by people, actually probably under house arrest, by people who wanted him dead, and ultimately he ended up dead at the hands of the people who were wanting to do that. So people's choices were really bad, and his experience, what he was going through, was really a tough and very difficult experience. And yet in the midst of that, he said this in Philippians 4:4. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. So he's in the middle of it. He's living it. He's saying it. He's saying, you're not controlled by your external circumstances or the choices of other people. You can still rejoice. Your thoughts are still within your control. Now listen, here's the truth. I have little control over the choices of others or over what happens to me. There's very little that I have control over in terms of what other people are choosing, what's happening to me. But listen to this. I have complete control over how I react to the choices of others and what happens to me. I have complete control over that. And so Paul's saying, here's the good news. He's speaking to people who themselves are in difficult circumstances, he himself in probably some of the worst of circumstances, and he says this. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, look, even in the midst of the worst possible circumstances and the worst choices on the part of other people, you can choose to not be anxious. You can choose to actually have joy. You can actually make choices that will bring peace to your mind that transcends all understanding. And then you might say to yourself, but sometimes I wonder if maybe God's will for me is that I not be happy. His will for me is that I not have joy. His will for me is that I not have peace. You ever thought that? Well, let me clear that up. And Paul said it very clearly to the people. And they too were under persecution in a very a thriving metropolis called Thessalonica. And they were people who had come to Christ. So they were being persecuted mercilessly by people who thought they were idiots and by people who were being tough on them. And in the midst of that, when they might have thought, well, maybe it's God's will for us to just be miserable, Paul said this, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God wants you to have joy. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have thanksgiving. He wants your thoughts to be filled with those things, and He's given that as a command. And if He gives it as a command, it means it's something that is fully within your grasp to do. Now, if you think to yourself, but wait a minute, my circumstances have been far worse than other people. Most people here haven't been raped. Most people here haven't gone through the suffering that I've gone through. Most people don't deal with the things that I deal with on a daily basis. Well, here's the truth. That doesn't mean that for you this doesn't work. It means that it's far more important that it work. Listen to this truth. The more challenging my experiences are, the more important my choices are. The more challenging my experiences are, the more important my choices are. And so Paul lived this out in the most beautiful way. He and Silas, a friend of his, had actually been flogged severely, it says, and put in a dungeon in stocks, in prison. So they're in a rat-infested dungeon in the stocks, terribly painful, terribly uncomfortable, having been whipped severely. And they still have a choice. And they go, but yet, I can still choose in my heart how to respond to what's happening right now and the choices of other people. And boy, did they. It says that about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They're just in a place where it's like, I'm not going to let somebody else's choices or the circumstances I'm in dictate what I'm thinking and where I am. They're praying and singing hymns to God. And ultimately, that results not only in their being released, but them choosing not to leave and instead to actually bring salvation to the very jailer who had them in jail and his family. And so the reality is that the more challenging your circumstances are, the more important your choices are, because your choices allow you to impact, even in those circumstances, things in a way that others could not conceive. I was talking to a lady who was talking about going back to visit Pleasant Hill, where her home was that she grew up in. And she said, as I went to the door of that home, she said, all of a sudden my mind was flooded with these memories, these thoughts, and all the terrible things that had happened in that home. And she said, it almost took my breath away. But then she said, then I came to realize, wait a minute, God's making me new. He's given me the capacity to choose whether or not I will go into those toxic thoughts, whether or not I will go there. And by that choice, she was able to see that God is making me new. Now here's the thing, is for you, I want you to know, if you felt helpless, that things are out of your control, God's saying, no, I want you to know that it's fully within your grasp. Now, somebody here is saying to me, but you don't understand. My problem with other people's choices and other experiences and external things, the biggest struggle, what seems most beyond my control, is in me. Anybody besides me know that? What seems most out of control is in me. It seems like it's just happening. I don't know what's in control in there. Sometimes anger's in control. Sometimes fear's in control. But something else is in control besides me. You ever wonder what's going on in people's heads? Watch this.
So, how was the first day of school?
It was fine, I guess. I don't know.
Do you ever look at someone and wonder what is going on inside their head?
Did you guys pick up on that?
Sure did.
Something's wrong.
We're going to find out what's happening. But we'll need support. Signal the husband.
Carrie, all the way. All over.
Uh-oh, she's looking at us. What did she say?
What? Oh, sorry, sir. No one was listening.
Is it garbage night? We left the toilet seat up. What? What is it, woman? What?
Signal him again.
Ah, so... Riley, how was school?
You gotta be kidding me.
For this, we gave up that Brazilian helicopter pilot?
School was great, all right?
What was that? I thought you said we were gonna act casual.
Riley, is everything okay?
Sir, she just rolled her eyes at us.
All right, make a show of force. I don't want to have to put the foot down.
No, not the foot.
Riley, I do not like this new attitude.
Oh, I'll show you attitude, old man.
No, breathe.
What is your problem? Just leave me alone.
Sir, reporting high levels of sass.
Take it to DEFCON 2.
DEFCON 2.
I don't know where this disrespectful attitude came from.
You want a piece of this, Pops?
Yeah, well, look.
Prepare the foot.
Keys to safety position. Ready to launch on your command, sir.
Just shut up!
Fire! That's it. Go to your room.
The foot is down. The foot is down. Yeah! Woo!
Good job, gentlemen. That could have been a disaster.
Well, that was a disaster.
Come, fly with me, Gacinha.
Isn't that awesome? They did such a good job. Anyway, does that look like anybody's head besides mine in here? And you feel like, man, it's just happening. Like Paul said, for what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I don't want to do. This I keep on doing. It's like I don't feel in control of this. In reality, there is some sense in which that's a reality in yourself. In fact, James said that each one is tempted when by their own evil desires they are dragged away and enticed. So it's something within me. And so I can feel like it's in control, like something's dragging me away, like I don't have control over it. But the reality is, I do. And so I want you to hear this, and it's extremely important. You can fill in the blanks if you're on the mobile app. I am choosing which thoughts I will embrace and empower. I am choosing which thoughts I will embrace and empower. Now, I want you to just check something out here. If I do this, like you see, do y'all see that light up over there? This represents a positive, healthy thought. Now, this is one of millions of thoughts. Every day, you're building those. Hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of those every day. You're building them within your mind. They become physical realities within your mind. And every day, that's happening. I'm building those little things within my mind, but within my brain. But also, I can build these toxic thoughts within my brain. And those, again, every day, hundreds of thousands of them are created over a week or two, and then millions of those over the years, and I can end up actually having a very unhealthy looking place. So in the forest of my mind, I might be overloaded with this toxic stuff, or I might be beautifully, full of good and healthy and God-honoring thoughts. No matter how far south I've gone with those, I've got this almost infinite, I've got 3 million years worth of unused space in my head in which I can build good, positive memories to make that forest beautiful, okay? So God's saying, you can do it. You can do it no matter how far gone you are. You can start putting these toxic thoughts down. You can start bringing the healthy ones up. You do have control over that. Every single day I have control, moment by moment, as to which thoughts I will embrace and which thoughts I will empower. And so think about this. Like right now, you see this. I am actually this. Let's turn the lights down. I want y'all to do this for the fun. This is going to be fun. All right, here we go. All right, more. I want to be in the dark. All right, here we go. Check it out. All right. So I'm choosing right now to light up a healthy thought tree over here. I'm choosing to light up and empower a negative toxic thought. Here's the truth. Is mama had a choice, even though you wouldn't think so. Mama can choose to think about the Brazilian helicopter pilot and build a toxic thought, or she can choose to think about her husband who's so sincere and is really trying hard, isn't he, guys, right? Oh, no, she can't even think it. There it goes. All right. Right? And so you have the choice, wives, whether you choose to think about his bad breath and his untrimmed nose hair, or whether you think about his honesty and integrity and the good things going on in him. And husbands, you have the choice as to whether or not you think about her annoying laugh and her unibrow, or you think about her childlike spirit and her beautiful smile when she's smiling. You can choose to think about those good things. Now, at the core, there are truly foundational, built by many, many thoughts. There are core ideas or core thoughts that help build who we are. And some of those are huge. Like, for instance, in your marriage, you can choose to empower the thought, I married the wrong person. And you do that over and over and over again. Or you could choose to empower the thought that God has blessed me with the right person. You empower that thought and you've got good stuff coming. You empower this other thought, you're in a bad place. Guys, you can choose to empower the thought, my parents hate me, they just want to control me. Or you can choose to empower the thought that my parents love me and they want to protect me. You can choose to empower some thoughts like, I can't do it, I'm not smart enough, it's too far gone. You can choose instead to empower thoughts like, everything is possible for me. And God has made me brilliant because he's made me in his image. I can choose to empower the thought that I'll never be able to put down this pornography and the alcohol and the drugs and the stuff that I'm in. You can choose to empower that negative thinking in your mind, or you can choose to empower the thought that says, I can truly honor God with my body and I can make choices that are exactly according to his will. You can choose to empower the thought that says, I can't forgive them. It was too much. It was too bad. Or you can choose to empower the thought that says, I am forgiving them even now. Now listen to this. This is extremely important. Some of you are choosing to empower the thought that it's too late. My life is too far gone. It's the downhill side now. Or you can choose to empower the thought that the best is yet to come. And God's still got his very best in store for me. You can be living that life where you say, I hate my life. And somebody's doing that over and over and over again. Or you can choose to empower the thought, I love my life and it's a gift to me and I cherish it. You can every day empower that thought that says, here comes another day. I don't even want to get out of bed. Or you can choose to empower the thought that says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. You can choose to empower the thought that says, God has forsaken me. He must not want me to be happy. He isn't with me. I must have sinned too bad, or he must just not be a good God. Or you can choose to empower the reality that he will never leave me or forsake me, that my God is with me. And so that thought, what you choose to empower, is totally within your control as much as these little clickers are within my control. And so as you make your decision about which one of those thoughts you will choose to light up, I want to ask you this question. How many people are saying this to yourself right now? You're saying, but Jeff, and y'all can give the lights back up if you want to. You're saying, but look,
I don't have the capacity like other people to make the choices like you're talking about, because so much of it is just wired into me. I mean, my mama was depressed. My grandmama was depressed. I've even tested, and I know that my chemical levels are out, and so I'm chemically wired to be depressed. My dad had a problem with anger. My granddad had a problem with anger. It's in my genes to have this problem of anger. You have this idea that somehow I'm genetically predisposed, and therefore I don't have the same hope that you might have, Jeff, or someone else might have. I want to tell you a truth about me. I don't care how bad you are. You aren't near as bad as I am. I have predisposition in my genetics for depression that will overwhelm you. I have the dopamine D2 receptor for alcoholism without a shadow of a doubt. I've got all the stuff there. When it comes to ADD, some people just pretend they're ADD. I am legitimately ADD, all right? When they test my brain for ADD, the guy literally laughed. He said, "You are the poster child for ADD." But the reality is this is true for me and it's true for you. I am not a victim of my biology. I am not a victim of biology. And listen, I want to tell you that is good news for you. I don't care what it is that you're dealing with. You are not a victim of your biology. I did not choose my genetic makeup, but I am choosing how those genes will be expressed, and I'm choosing it every single day. You understand that there is a reality of epigenetics, something that is above genetics. As I think, I'm actually turning off. I am sending electrical and chemical signals into my brain that are switching on and switching off genes in positive or negative ways every time I think. So above your genetics is your choice. And God wants you to know that although you didn't choose your genetic makeup, you are every day choosing how your genes will be expressed, whether in a God-honoring way or in a way that makes you regret who you are. And so listen to this reality. If you're a person who struggles and you know that you've got predispositions like I have predispositions, the more predisposed my genetics seem, here's what most people think, the more predisposed my genetics seems, the more excuse I feel I have to pass on my choices. It's just the opposite. The more predisposed my genetics seem, the more important my choices are. I want you to think about a person who's predisposed in their pancreas to not produce enough insulin, and they are predisposed to diabetes. For generations, there's been diabetes in their family. The truth is that if they have a problem with insulin production, that doesn't give them an excuse to eat more cake than everybody else. It's just the opposite. It gives me a greater urgency and necessity that I choose well in terms of what I eat. Does that make sense? And there's nothing wrong with taking medicine to help your insulin production. And that's a good thing. But if you take the medicine and say, now I'm taking my medicine and I can eat a half gallon of butter brickle ice cream because I'm taking my medicine, then you're foolish. It's the same way in your head. If somebody here says, hey, I know that I'm taking an uptake inhibitor to get my serotonin levels up because I believe I am biologically prone to depression. Okay, that's fine, and there's nothing wrong with that. But listen to this. If you start thinking, let me take my medicine and continue to make poor choices, it's like a diabetic continuing to eat cake. It's going to take you down. Do you understand that? It's going to take you down. So the more predisposed my genetics seem, the more important my choices are, not the less. And let me tell you this, that the beautiful thing is God sympathizes with that. We're told in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, that we have Jesus, a high priest, who sympathizes with our weaknesses. He understands how it is to be us and to have those predispositions and have that struggle. He's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. But listen, the fact that he sympathizes with your weaknesses does not mean that he gives those weaknesses as an excuse for your choices. Please hear this. My genetics are never an excuse for my choices. My genetics are never an excuse for my choices. Listen to what David said about himself. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. He knew from birth, I know I've had these propensities. From birth, I've been sinful. I know it's in me, but yet he, acknowledging that, went right in the next verse and acknowledged this. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. So God, I know I'm a mess, but that doesn't mean that you have any less desire for me to live a full and healthy and holy life any more than anybody else. Everybody understand that? He still has purposes for you, and your genetics are not an excuse for your bad choices. In fact, they're a motivation, a reason why you must choose better. And so anybody here who's thinking, now I wish then that I knew how, that's what we're going into, guys. What we're going to be delving into over the next several days, over the next several weeks, is how you can actually put this into practice. And we're going to start with the most important choices that you will ever make. And the first one is this, and that is the choice to choose life. I choose life. Now listen to this. Here's what Moses said to the people of Israel. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now here's the thing. I want you to understand what Moses is saying. Moses is saying, look, the ball's in your court. You can't any longer say, oh, well, God's sovereign. Who can resist his sovereignty? Well, it's all God. God's just playing me out like a puppet. He's saying, no, you have a choice. I'm setting heaven and earth as a witness against you that this sovereign God who could have manipulated you like a puppet has given you freedom to choose. And your choice will result in life or death. So Moses is making it extremely clear, and you need to hear it today. Today, I call heaven and earth as a witness against you that God has set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. And God says, the reason that I gave you choice was because of the reason you're on the planet. And that is, he gave you the choice so that you could choose to love him back. He created you to love you, and he gave you the choices to love him back or not. So Moses went on to say, now choose life, that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. God's saying, the very reason I gave you choices so you could choose to love me back and we could live a life that you could be full. Your life, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And God's saying, that's what I want for you. Now choose it. Choose to love me back. Choose the life I have for you. Stop choosing this depressive, anxious, moronic life that you're living and start living the full and beautiful and holy life that I created you to live. So when I choose life, it means I choose God. He said this, because the Lord is your life. Man, he's saying, look, I want to bring fullness to you. I want to bring joy to you. I want to bring passion to you. I want to bring life to you. I want you to have everything. And so just trust me. Trust me. Choose life. Choose me, which means this. I choose to surrender my will and my life completely to him. I choose to surrender my will and my life completely to him. Romans 12:1, after Paul's talked about this amazing grace of God to forgive us of our sin, to give us the gift of his Holy Spirit, he says, now look, in view of his mercy, in view of what he wants to do in your life, he says this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Come on, just give everything to him. And let me tell you why. Because I promise you, outside of him, you don't find life. Outside of him, you won't find the joy and the fulfillment and all it is that God desires for you to have in your heart and your mind and your life. He's saying, come on, choose it. Choose my will, because my will is what's going to bring you fullness of life. And here's another reason it's so important, and why I'm hitting it on you today, is as we're learning about the power of the mind, let me tell you that the power of your choices is not only a power that is exercised if you've surrendered your will to God, it's a power you exercise even if you totally ignore God. Your choices still have enormous power, and your mind still has enormous power. The reality is that this verse is quoted by Caroline Leaf, and it's quoted by others, so misquoted. It's a terrible misrepresentation of God's word. People quote this positively from Genesis chapter 11. They say, nothing they have imagined that they can do will be impossible for them. Now they say that as though it's good. And actually, that's in a terrible context. It's when the people have decided they're going to build a tower that reaches the heavens so they don't even need God. And God is saying, guess what? If they put it in their mind, I'm saying they'll be able to do anything they can possibly imagine, and it's going to be horrible. It's going to totally mess them up. If you begin to recognize and grasp the power of your mind, and yet you don't surrender yourself to the God who created your mind, you end up like the people in the Garden of Eden. The very fall of human beings was when Satan tempted Eve and said, look, if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, not an apple, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if you eat from that, you'll be like God. Your own mind, you can make your own choices. You can choose to have a happy and wonderful and fulfilled life. You can do whatever you want to do, and you can do what makes you happy, and that's what she chose, and it led to her utter destruction. And that's exactly how it will be for you. Listen to this. Write it down. You think I will be like God, and what you will end up doing is destroying yourself. Grasping the power of my mind without submission to the creator of my mind only gives me the power to destroy myself. Let me do that one more time. Grasping the power of my mind without submitting to the creator of my mind only gives me the power to destroy myself. And so, guys, self-help books and positive thinking, all that is great because people recognize the power of their mind and they get their lives on a track where they're accomplishing all their goals and they're moving in all their directions and every bit of it taking them farther away from the God who created them to their own destruction. And God's saying, don't ever grasp the power of your mind without submitting yourself to the one who created your mind. There was a lady that is dear to my heart, and she was telling me about even being in church and believing in Jesus and everything else. But she said, when I was growing up, she said, I didn't feel like I was powerless. She said, I did as a young child because my father was impossible to please. We tried so hard to please him. Nothing was ever good enough. So me and my sister suffered that until I finally decided I can choose. I can choose how to think and what to think. And she said, so I took control of my thinking, took control of my life, and took my life to a place that brought me more pain than I can ever possibly imagine. She said, right now I'm living the consequences of recognizing the power of my own choices and the power of my own mind without submitting to the God who created my mind. And she said, and now I've submitted to him and I'm allowing God to show me how to think and what to think and what's right and what's good and what's wrong and what's bad. And she said, and now I'm watching him as he begins to take my life where it was intended to go from the beginning. So first thing you need to do is surrender your will and your life to God. And you say, why would you say that in a church? Because in church, church is filled with people who have never surrendered their will and their life to God. It's people who just acknowledge his existence but have never said to him, I want to think your thoughts. I want to feel within me and know within me and be within myself who it is that you desire me to be. Only your will. Next is this. If I am choosing to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that's the second most important decision that you'll ever make. I am choosing to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Let me tell you why that's so important. Is so many people think, once I made a decision that, yes, God, I want your will, then it's finished. And from then on, I just stop. I want your will, and I go home, and I just expect everything to change. It's sad and it's heartbreaking, but people believe that's the way it goes. He finishes after verse 1 of chapter 12 where he says, I want you to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, and then goes into verse 2 and says that he wants you to be transformed. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That being transformed by the renewing of my mind, choosing to be transformed, is a daily thing. That in Greek is in present tense, which doesn't indicate like there's a snapshot tense that's used whenever he talks about that I want to offer my body. It's something that I do. I offer my body to him as a living sacrifice. But the tense that's used when he says be transformed is present tense. It kind of gives this idea that it's something I am doing. I'm in the process of doing. Now I want you to get this picture. God's saying that this transformation is something you are constantly doing. I'm constantly being transformed by constantly surrendering my thought life to God and allowing God to become a part of that conversation and allowing God to help me identify what thoughts to grasp and what ones to release, what ones to empower and what ones to put down. And God's saying that transformation is what you need most. Now, I don't know if we said this last week, but here's the reality for most Christians. As most Christians make the decision, oh, yeah, I want God's will, and I want to be a good Christian. And then that's it, and they stop. It's kind of like a woman who says, I want to be a skinny woman. And then she sits on the couch and waits for that to happen, right? It just doesn't happen. Because her decision that I want to be a skinny woman is a good decision. But the decisions, the ongoing process of daily choosing according to that decision, it's what will actually bring about her skinny girl body. Does that make sense? So her body is never going to be transformed just by a decision that she made without the ongoing decision of living according to that. And God's saying, I don't want you to be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. I don't want you to let this world press you into its mold with anxiety and frustration and greed and all the mess that this world brings in. Instead, I want you to constantly, consistently be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want you to daily be choosing, God, I surrender my mind and my thoughts to you. I ask you to examine my thoughts, show me what to embrace and what to reject, what to empower and what to put down. And God says, that's how I'll change your life. Lord God, it's our prayer that everybody here who has really sought to live a new life, but honestly in their heart and in their mind truly believed that their thoughts were purely the result of things beyond their control. Lord, there's somebody here who thinks that it was some spiritual forces of evil only, or it was life experiences or the choices of other people. And Lord God, thank you for the beautiful, beautiful truth that even though those things do seek to influence our thinking, that you've given us the power to choose. God, thank you that you've given us the power to choose, Lord God, and that although we can't control our circumstances and we can't control the decisions of others, we can control our response to those. We have complete control there. And Lord, we pray that we would begin to choose our thoughts according to your will. That we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That we would never use genetics as an excuse any longer for our choices. But instead, Lord God, that we would see the greater urgency of choosing well. That we'd never use our difficult circumstances as an excuse for bad choices. But we would see the importance of our choices even more. Lord God, we begin today, and guys, right now, if you're with me, I just want to ask you, would you begin right now by saying, God, number one, I choose life, I choose you. I choose to surrender my will and my life to you, knowing that you have beautiful plans to fill my life. You want me to live a life to the full, and that's what I want, so I surrender to you. And now can you secondly say to God, God, I'm choosing to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. It begins today just with this choice. And I will learn how to do that more and more. And as life goes on and as time goes by, you are going to renew my mind to be like yours. In Jesus' name, amen. As the praise team comes to lead us, we want to invite you to stand and want to invite you to this altar. This altar is here for anybody who, like me, is pretty thrilled about the fact that I have a choice, and I'm going to start choosing well.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information, visit us at christislove.org.